Unveiling the secrets A-list copywriters use to make themselves and their clients millions. This is the Copywriters Podcast with your host, the world's greatest copywriting coach, David Garfinkel.
Welcome back to the Copywriters Podcast with your host, the world's greatest copywriting coach, David Garfinkel. David, how are you doing today?
Nathan, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, and I'm excited. We have a guest on who has blown my mind with the knowledge that he shared with us in one of our private masterminds, and I can't wait to see what he reveals on this episode, so I'm going to probably remain silent and absorb as much as I can throughout this episode and turn it over to you.
All right. Well, let's get into it. These days, things in copywriting are changing so fast it can make your head spin. Junior copywriters aren't sure there's even a career path because of AI. Experienced copywriters are finding clients have different and sometimes confusing demands that you would have never heard 5 years ago. Our special guest today, Scott Zetlin, has some answers for junior copywriters, experienced copywriters, and everyone in between. That's because he's seen and done so much in business, both old school and online. Scott has helped hundreds of businesses grow and scale fast using innovative testing techniques. Scott's company, VisiOpt, has a tool that lets businesses run a single test equivalent to a whopping 4,317 tests, allowing for rapid optimization that leads to profits and new opportunities. And Scott's also an expert in writing copy that converts cold traffic. He's agreed to come on the podcast to talk about a new model of survival and success for copywriters based on his wide span of expertise and his current in the trenches experience. However, and this is important, what I'm going to tell you now is as relevant today as it was 5 years ago. Copy is powerful. You're responsible for how you use what you hear on this podcast, and most of the time, common sense is all you need. But if you make extreme claims and or if you're writing copy for offers in highly regulated industries like health, finance, and business opportunity, you may want to get a legal review after you write and before you start using your copy. My larger clients do this all the time. Okay, well, Scott, welcome and thanks for being here.
Oh, I appreciate it. I'm excited.
Well, good. Why don't we jump in? We got so much to cover. I think you have a unique perspective. You've been a copywriter. In fact, when we were chatting, we realized we met for the first time. Well, maybe we didn't meet in person, but we were at the same Gary Halbert Hurricane Andrews seminar in Key West 21 years ago. So we've both been in this game a long time. But as of today, and in the near future, what do you see changing as the dangers and opportunities for copywriting?
You know, I think that's a really great question. And I think I would assume it's on the minds of a lot of offer owners, copywriters, and just people in this industry in general, right? We're seeing rapid changes. If I had to narrow it down for copywriters, I think the word that comes to mind is perception is everything. The market's perception of what a copywriter is, the market's perception of what they can do has changed rapidly because of AI. So there's a lot of things I think is going on. Copywriting has been sold largely as sort of, forgive this, but as a biz op, meaning everybody thinks that they can become a copywriter. And there's been a ton of, we'll say, different levels of copywriting courses, and there are people trying to hawk their wares, so to speak, on every group or Facebook group that's out there. All you have to do is put an ad up or a post up for we need a copywriter and watch what flutters through. When we combine that with the perception of the market, which is largely that copywriters are a commodity. Now, we can differ. We know that there are different quality copywriters and the value a copywriter can bring. But when the market starts believing and understanding that a copywriter is a commodity. And then we add into the mix AI. And again, we can talk about during this call and on about, you know, what is the true value there. But the perception from the offer owners is that copy should be cheap. Copy should be easy. Copywriters are a commodity. I think that's like a very dangerous place to be in, unless copywriters, whether they're new or old, are willing to use their unique skills and sort of step outside that box a little bit, because they do have amazing value to offer.
Okay, so what steps do you think copywriters and business owners need to take right now to keep from falling behind?
Well, I think if we take a quick step back, right? What does a copywriter typically do? I know there'll be changes. Different people will do different things on this call, but most of the time they're playing a game of beat the control. Most of the time they're hired and their job is to turn in a piece of copy, and that copy either works or it doesn't work. If it works, he or she is a hero. If it doesn't work, he or she is the opposite of a hero. And you're only as good, I'm sure, there as your last piece of copy. So if your previous two, you kicked it out of the park and this one, you know, didn't do so well, then you are now, you know, low on their list, we'll put it nicely. And so you're only as good as your last job. And I look at that sort of as someone taking a shot from the half court line, right? To use a basketball metaphor, or a worse one, you know, playing Russian roulette. When you hand that piece of copy over and that's it, you're taking one shot at the basket. What we see here is that most times that copy requires testing, reiteration, different headlines, tweaks to the lead, tweaks to the subheads, whatever pieces we could talk about that, but to really make it work. So if you're putting it in the client's hands and walking away, you're only looking at a small portion and you're still the commodity. If instead copywriters stepped out of the box, used the knowledge that they have, which I would argue every decent copywriter to great copywriter has a unique skill set to do this, and stuck around and became valuable to that business and said, I'm not only handing you this piece of copy, but I'm going to help you make it work. And I'm going to help you continue to increase the conversion on that. So the job that I do for you is going to, if it doesn't work out of the box, we're going to make it work. If it's working, we're going to make it work better. You become a valuable asset to a business, to an offer owner, instead of a one-time, here's my commodity, drop off my copy, I'm willing to pay X and move on. So I think that is something that most copywriters, if I were recommending, should, if they haven't already, start taking a look at as to how can they use their integral core skills and make themselves more valuable.
So what you're saying is going from piecework to partner, right? Not literally.
I love that. That's a good way of looking at it. And even if it isn't in an agreement, a partnership, they are providing ongoing valuable services to the business. And they're changing the perception as to how the business looks at what they're producing and, you know, their value. You're no longer, I use the word commodity. You're no longer a commodity. You are now a, let's use a true hired gun. You are truly a valuable part of the business. And I'll add to this that most offer owners, or many, even 7 to 10 figures, they don't do much of this. They either a piece of copy works or doesn't work, and they're leaving a ton of really valuable copy on the, we'll call it the copywriting floor, so to speak.
I'm going to jump in and add, most of my clients I've worked with for 3, 4, 5 years now, and once you hit maybe 6 months, at least this has been my experience, everything starts rolling a lot smoother. If you've put out 3 or 4 pieces and then you see what works and what doesn't work with their audience, from that point forward, your hit to miss ratio starts leaning heavily in the hit favor. If you come in and you just do one sales page or one product launch and then you're out, you don't ever get that kind of like a fifth or sixth sense for their audience, for their messaging. And so if you're hiring copywriters for just one job at a time and they're not learning your audience, learning your offer, you're not getting what you can really get out of a copywriter. So my 2 cents on this is to add that perspective, if you can work with a client on an ongoing basis, you become immediately more valuable.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is today relationship is extended beyond you didn't call me after last night. Okay, let's go to a current topic of extreme interest. You're talking about copywriters, you're talking about testing, you're talking about a commitment to make something work. Where does AI fit into all of this in 2024?
Well, you know, that's a really, right, really big question, right? It's a great question. It's a big question that we can answer in a lot of different ways. I think on the, we'll talk the negative side, and then we'll talk how you can use it, right? The negative side is what we've already sort of been discussing, right? That perception in the marketplace that AI is as good, and we know ways where we can it can help a copywriter, but from the negative side, the offer owner feels that either they, someone on their team, and or a really inexpensive and possibly inexperienced copywriter they can utilize to utilize AI. So it's creating a perception in the marketplace. It's creating a lot of bad copy in the marketplace. It's creating before this there was a word, so we'll use the word plethora of new copywriters, right? That probably a lot of them don't go through the level of training, insight, just hit the ground, learn from the trenches type of work, because they learn enough to know enough and maybe have a little bit of an eye, and many offer owners don't really know what they're looking for. So on the negative side right now, I think that because of the promise of it being a push button, right? We talk about that a little bit there. I think that the perception of the marketplace is a real big problem for copywriters. On the flip side of it, if you have copywriters that know their stuff, first of all, like Visiopt, we can talk about a little, like has AI built in and uses AI to be able to test a lot of different stuff fast. From a copywriter's and pure copywriter's standpoint, if they already know, from my perspective, from what I see, if they already know really good copy, it helps them to maybe iterate additional variations and versions. And going to Nathan's comments earlier, which I think, just to tie it in, were great. I think that the way I look at that, right, is the copywriter is gathering data, right? When you are sitting to write a piece, you're researching, you're using maybe your knowledge in the market, you're using your knowledge of persuasion, but you're taking that shot, like we talked about, from the half court line. As he can, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, this is what I was hearing, but as you know, you're working with it, the reason you're most likely hitting more hits than misses is because you're seeing from the real data as to what's going on. He already, clearly has a phenomenal relationship and built relationships with clients. I would probably argue that that is tougher because of the perception of the marketplace for people to be able to create that kind of relationship. And one way to do it is to do it from the outset, right? To educate, and that just makes you, sort of a damaging admission can sometimes in copy, we know can make the copy more powerful, but to talk turkey about the copy and say, I'm not going away. And we need this data so that we can figure out actually what is really hitting the market. And just to give a quick story, I don't want to drag this on, but when somebody uses Visiopt, and this story isn't about Visiopt, it's about what we're talking about and reiteration and the power of words, that we have them set up a test funnel for their thing and make a couple of word changes that just as a test, just so they can test, make sure everything's working out, apply through this. You know, we have them change words that presumably would not affect their audience, right? So that they can let it run and their audience can see it and they can make sure it's working. Well, we got a call about 2 weeks afterwards from a new client that says, I set this up, I did this on our homepage and we expected nothing. And it was literally just two words and it created a 15% increase in quality applications by mistake. How does that tie in here? We all know as copywriters that are on this call and people that are hiring copywriters should know, there's a power in words. And if we go in, even if you're the best copywriter with the most experience, yes, you're going to have a much higher hit rate. But if we go in with the understanding that most offers to really make work, and when I say really make work, I'm going to like the cold traffic you know, beyond a warm audience. That takes iteration and reiteration and testing. And it's also the holy grail for, I shouldn't say all, but most clients. They want their offers, even that are working on warm traffic, to be aware. So I use that just to sort of bring that full circle that AI, to answer your question specifically, AI can play against, and I think it is from a perception. And I think AI is also a reason why people may have to step out of the box. In particular, copywriters that may not have as long-standing relationship and status in the marketplace, I think it's just going to be harder and harder for them to get to the level that, you know, this is just my opinion, that like you and Nathan are at.
Okay. I think that's a really comprehensive answer. I appreciate it. So another question, you're at the top of the testing and optimization game.
Yep.
How do you think testing and optimization have changed since the Claude Hopkins days of A-B split testing of one variable at a time?
Well, you know, I love this question because it's something I could talk about for hours. We don't have that time, but to your point,
we're tight on time. Yeah.
Most people, first of all, I'll just take this step back. Most offer owners and most companies, even though they talk about testing and masterminds, let's just take this a step back. They do that. They talk about it. They're either not testing enough or not at all, or testing incorrectly or the wrong stuff. So let's just start there. They've lost that lesson because it's become so easy from the Claude Hopkins days and all the old school marketers that knew we had to create two different versions of a letter or two completely versions of a publication where there was a lot more money on the line and a lot more time. And they realized something miraculous, right? That people take it. If we do this and all we're changing is the headline, that this works a lot better than this. So where has that gone, right? It has gone to a point where we're able to, whether you're a copywriter or somebody that's never did testing, when it comes to VisiOpt, you're able to follow prompts just like you would with Word and do advanced testings that go beyond just variable A versus variable B, right? We can move on to headline one and headline two, where we can test three headlines and three hero images and three calls to action all at the same time and come up with what we have discovered is the page recipe. Because yes, if you have page A versus page B, headline A versus headline B, the isolated variable, we know from all the classics, it made a big difference. We know that can make a difference, but it's not just about the headline. It's about how the headline is working with the intro paragraph, is potentially working with the hero image, and it creates this page recipe. So there's two main things that differ. Number one, we can get a lot of data much faster. So we can run, like you kindly had said in the introduction, we have the ability to run the equivalent of more than 4,000 different split tests data in a single test without requiring a client to have any more traffic than they're running now. No additional expense. That's a lot of, I mean, put that into the David Ogilvies or the Claude Hopkins, and if they had the ability to do that, I think, you know, they roll over in their grave that people aren't shaking people, that they're not just doing more testing. The other side of it is, again, that relationship. And to put a pin in this, the really big companies, and I'm going to misstate this, but, you know, what is the saying? There's like the, when you want to learn a new subject, there's like the 1,000-hour rule or the 900, I forget exactly what it was. I should have been more prepared. Well, companies like Facebook, companies like Amazon, companies like Alibaba have, like, you know, it's called that, like something, and again, I'm misstating this, so with the 900 test rule, what they basically say is, it's all about testing. I know that Ma, and I can't recall his first name from Alibaba, the founder.
Yeah, Jack Ma. Yeah,
Jack Ma, thank you. He had a famous quote that if you're not testing, you're fired, right? Amazon credits testing with their success. And we don't always see it because of the time thing. All these big companies, the point is running literally thousands of different variations of the page. And what's happening now with most copywriters and offer owners is, and that's why they're having more and more trouble, by the way, as costs go up, as the market matures from a cold traffic perspective, they're struggling. But most of them are used to, let's take a piece of copy, either it works or doesn't work. And if we're testing a couple of headlines. And if not, it's the copywriter's fault, he didn't hit it. So there's a big change in technology. There's a big change in availability. It's much less expensive. It's not elusive to the marketplace. And so if we're comparing Quad Hopkins to today, right? It's, you know, those apples to oranges. I think that some of these guys that really developed and paved the way for everything that we see today would literally be rolling over in their grave and probably be running circles around all current marketers because they understood the power of it.
I'm just going to jump in and add a lot of the advertising platforms, Google, Facebook, they've started moving over to dynamic testing where you can enter 5, 10, 15 headlines, 5 different calls to action, 3 different descriptions, and they'll run all of them in various combinations to quickly find out what works best. So to kind of find that recipe that you were talking about earlier.
Yeah, I'll just hit on that. That's a really good point. Just for clarity purposes, right? There's two things, and thanks for that, Nathan. Just to hone on that, there's two areas that any offer owner and therefore any copywriter that wants to help offer owners can do. There's the front end creative and there's everything that takes place on page. And so the front end creative is like we call 20% of the equation and 80%, and I'm sure this is no surprise to anybody that's written copy before, but all the pages and everything that takes place in the experience afterwards is 80% of that. And so, yes, they're going there. They make decisions a little bit too quick, but at least they're getting people testing on the ad side, right? There's debate as to how good that is, and it goes down to put junk in, you get junk out, but you're right. But just for clarity purposes, what we're talking about here that I think copywriters can really, well, they can control both ends, but really have power is what's taking place on a funnel. But that's a really good point.
Before we wrap up, I'd love to get your favorite example of how A/B and multivariate testing has led to an improvement in some copies performance.
Well, we have so many different examples, but you know, as you're talking, I'll give one that I think isn't the highest increase, but I think may hit this point home as to the power of this for your audience or anybody listening. So we have a recent client that was running a test. This is a very basic test. They have a control video, control VSL, and they wanted to test 2 additional VSLs, right? With, you know, all that was changing was the lead. So VSL 1, the control, VSL 2 and 3 with 2 different leads. Had they run it normally, had they been doing testing and running an A, B, C in this case, because there's 3 tests, split A, B, C tests, there would have been no benefit to their test. So what I mean by that is the control would have won. After 14 days, the control would have won. Now, don't quote me on this exact page recipe, but inside of Visioff, they use what we call a smart relational test. It sounds fancy. It's really easy, but they tested 3 different headlines along with the 3 different videos, along with 3 different calls to action. Nothing really that complicated there. And I believe it was something like headline 2 with video 3 and call to action 1 created for them a 32% increase in actual sales revenue. So let's just all think about that for a minute. And the reason I like that as an example, if we use sort of dumb math, let's just use dumb. They were doing more than this. They had a test that either, let's just take this back to the beginning of our conversation, that maybe they guessed and somebody fought or liked one of the other videos and they would have had a win. They could have done a step above, like a good company should, and run a traditional A, B, C split test, and they would have said to control 1 and walk away from it. But by understanding that they can test the whole page recipe, they got a 32% increase. So if we use the dumbed down math of $100,000 a month, you know, that's a $32,000 a month raise, or you know, a $360,000 a year raise by doing proper testing. And so I like that example. We have larger ones. And these, by the way, aren't new offers. These aren't people that aren't already running. These people are running on cold traffic, right? So they feel they have their offer fully optimized.
They're also experienced, right? I mean, yeah. They're not like babes in the woods. They've been, it's not their first rodeo, right?
Exactly. And the reason I mention this is if you're not doing testing or you are, in your words, a babe in the woods, the swings you can get are even bigger. You have people who feel that their offer is already optimized. And they're still squeezing out, even there, like take in this case, a 32% raise. It shows the power of it from an offer owner's perspective. But I also hope that it gives at least somebody listening a little bit of inspiration that you have the knowledge, right? Who's writing these different leads and these different headlines and these different preheads and can expand their knowledge even beyond that into things like UX, et cetera. Well, I would argue copywriters have a very unique background to be able to help and guide in this area.
Okay. I know you've spent years and you have developers and you probably have statisticians. You have all kinds of people in your company, but just at the most basic level, what's one or two steps a copywriter can take? This will come out on a Monday, today or by Friday, just to start adding testing and optimization to their workflow, especially if this is all new to them.
Yeah. So, well, I think at the very basic level in thinking about this, and they can do more than this, but at the very basic level, instead of turning in copy and laboring, which they do and rightfully should do, over the one lead or the one headline or the call to action and the close or whatever piece it is, they should think of it broadly as they're going about their research. And everybody, every good copywriter is, even if you think you know the market, take a step outside that market and start small by supplying the companies that you're working with 3 to 5 different headlines, with the key being different. Don't make the mistake a lot of copywriters get outside your own head. Make sure they're emotionally different, or what we call semantically different. You know, write an avoid headline, write an enjoy headline, write a story-based headline, but write different. Evaluate it through the eyes of different and create a couple of different variations with the idea that you want to be there when you turn in that copy and help them make it work. That would be the basic level. If they want to take it a step further, you know, they, and we do have copywriters that have done this, and this isn't about us, but, you know, get access to Visiop. They can use it for their tools. We can provide them with the details where they can actually run these tests for them. And I don't care if they're non-technical, by the way. You know, it's really, if you can use Word, you can use it. But the starting point, what can they do Monday? If I had to recommend to a copywriter, don't be the guy who's turning in one piece of copy. Go through your research and take your ego out of it and let the data tell you and make recommendations for the client to test. Here's what we think will be the control. Here's 5 different headlines, 5 different leads, 5 maybe a lead. You don't even have to go as far, by the way, as a lead. It can be, if you're involved, let me give you ideas for 5 different images that you can test. It's something a lot of people use as throwaway. It could be any variable on that page. So that would be, at its very basic, I would just be the copywriter who is supplying more and starting to instill in your clients that, let me help you. Let me provide you with more data to find out the best combination that's going to work.
That's awesome. How can people, if they want to take advantage of Visiop, I guess they should just go to your website, right?
Yeah, they can go to Visiopt, which is visiopt.com. I'll let you know there's a, you know, do you qualify button or a chat on the bottom. You can answer a few questions. And if somebody's even unsure, I'll just throw this out. You'll get our AI bot thingy, answer a couple of questions, but you'll get on a call with a real person. So whether it's about a client you're working with and you want to have a talk, whether you just want to have a quick peek and have us show you what it looks like and how hard, and or we don't usually talk about this, if there's somebody and it's appropriate that wants to take their skills regarding this to the next level, we do have a done with you program where they can take 1 or 2 of their clients and walk through. But the simplest way, hop over to visiopt.com, take a look around, and then hit us up, and we're happy to answer any questions and chat, and we love talking conversions. So
that's great.
And that's visiopt.com?
You got it. Yep.
All right. And if people want to connect with you, is that something that you accept, or are you pretty private?
Oh, no, absolutely. I love talking. Love talking to people. I can give my direct email if it's okay in whatever show notes that you have, and if that's okay. And people can reach out directly. Be more than happy to.
All right. Awesome. Scott, thank you so much for coming on, man. I've been waiting for this for a while, and I was excited when David said we finally got you lined up, and you definitely delivered. So thank you again for coming on. If you enjoyed this episode, if you want to reach out to Scott, we will have his email in the show notes. You can find the show notes over at copywriterspodcast.com. And until next time, we will catch you later.
Catch you later. Hey, did you enjoy today's show? Want to help get it into the ears of more listeners? Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast app.
This is the Copy and Funnels Podcast Network.